This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Well, it's been so long, and I've missed this man. I've missed him because he's part of our world now. He is our tech guy here at Fab FM. Of course, he does moonlight around Australia. Richard Pascoe, don't you?
I do, Paul. It's wonderful to be back. The restraining order is over now, and I got my check.
Okay.
I got my check in the mail, Paul, and do you know what I bought with my check?
What did you buy?
It's the only thing I could buy with a check this size, a new Bic Biro. So thank you, Paul. I really appreciate my payment for last year.
Well, look, we're only a very tiny radio station. I know you work for the giant networks, and they've got tons and tons of dough, but we don't have much here. And
no.
I thought the pen, sending you the money, I knew you'd buy something small with it.
That's exactly right. Paul, first up, I want to talk about something that I think is going to be of great benefit to Port Douglas and the Douglas Shire.
Ooh.
And it's not on the notes. Elon Musk has opened up applications for his Starlink internet service.
Ooh.
Now, this, Paul, is it's available to a limited number of users per coverage area at the moment. So all the links are up on my website right now. But the difference between this and waiting for the NBN is if you can see the sky, you can get high-speed internet.
Ooh.
So what happens is it's the cost of the service per month is $139. There is a $709 hardware fee, a $100 shipping fee. If you sign up for it, you've got to pay $139 up front. Now, speed, Paul. Users can expect to see data speeds from 50 megabits per second to 150 megabits per second. Unlimited download and low latency. And this is because of the 10,000 satellites that go whizzing above our heads because they're a lot closer to the ground. So, you know, have a look at this. If you haven't got an internet connection, that you can put your address into it and see if you can sign up with the service on there. I just thought it was, you know, a good thing to mention. I signed up for it straight away because it's far better than what I'm getting currently with the NBN. So I'm quite willing to swap, and I am the canary in the coal mine for so many people out there when it comes to these things. But I think, you know, Elon Musk, I think it's going to shake up the NBN. I think it's going to shake up the telcos in this country.
Okay, so you are the canary in the mine.
I am. Canary in the coal mine. So we just got to hope I don't drop off the perch. So, yes.
Never, 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 never. You keep yourself very fit. I saw you when we were down in Adelaide. We had a great lunch, didn't we? And it was lovely to see you face to face after all this COVID stuff.
No, it's very good. Great to see you as well, Paul.
Okay, let's check on what you're going to talk about this week, apart from what you just have. Email storage. Now, hotmailoutlook.com may change.
It may change to a charge. So if you store more than 15 gig of email on your Hotmail address, your Outlook.com address, Microsoft are probably going to start charging you. Oh. 15 gig is tens of thousands of emails, Paul. And a lot of people never delete anything out of these accounts. So you know what? It might be time to go in, get rid of all the old crappy shopping things that you've got and your Facebook notifications and free up some space. Charge will be between $70 and $100 a year if you want to keep more than 15 gig on there. But 15 gig, Paul, should have done your emails for the last 10 years. So anything before that, time for it to go.
Now, there must be, if you think of all the Hotmail accounts, and I reckon I got about four of them that I don't use anymore, they must be using up a lot of space for the Hotmail people.
Exactly right. Microsoft have got lots of storage. But,
sure. There's some funny names on Hotmail, isn't there? You know.
Oh, Lordy, yes.
Lordy. Mercy.
I saw a woman the other day, hot as S. 1968 at hotmail.com. So, yes, I've got to say, Paul, between you, me, and the listeners, times have changed. So
they certainly have. You've got to be very careful these days. Okay, going on now, and we're talking with our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. Richard, the federal government have floated the idea of using Bing. Now, this is, I take it, this is not Bing Crosby.
No, this is the Bing search engine, because as we know at the moment, the federal government, Google and Facebook have got, are in a bit of a dispute, because they're of the belief that Google and Facebook should be paying them to use news articles and link to news articles on their site. I don't entirely agree with what the federal government are doing about this. You know, I think that a lot of the large media organisations out there, it's just an easy way for them to cover for the lack of classified ads advertising that they're getting now. That's all. So they haven't adapted with the times. I was horrified when Scott Morrison came out and said, well, we could make the default search engine in Australia Bing and ban Google. We shouldn't be banning anything, Paul. Mm. We're not China. We really are. That's the sort of thing they do in China. So how big is Bing? Bing is the second biggest search engine in Australia, believe it or not. Google have 94% of the market. Bing has 3.7. Nobody uses Bing. Well, 3.7% do, but it's a terrible thing. And, yeah, if you do a Google search about Bing, the most common phrase is, how do I get rid of Bing? The results aren't very good on there, Paul.
Right.
Honestly, I thought it was a stupid statement. And, you know, these sort of things and this dispute could cost, you know, the government a lot of votes in the next election. So going to Bing, not on my watch, Paul.
Okay. Moving on now to 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz on your router, why you may want to stay away from 5 gigahertz. Tell us all about that.
So your Wi-Fi connection at your home or office has two connections to it, a 2.4 and a 5. All of this is up on the website, by the way, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. 2.4 gigahertz is the one that you should connect to, not the 5 gigahertz. Why? Because printers and Internet of Things devices like your video doorbell only connect to 2.4. So with all the talk about 5G lately, people go along and think the 5 gigahertz connection is the same as 5G. Unfortunately, it's not. 5G comes in via the phone lines. It's the internet connection out on the road, let's say, not the one you've got in your home. So people go along, they say, I'll get a quicker connection if I switch over to 5 gigahertz. All you do, you can't print then.
Mm.
It just basically stops your printer. So stick on 2.4 if you want all your devices to work.
Our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, joins us every week. We've had a bit of break over the Christmas New Year period. We're back on deck again, which I absolutely love because we learn so much with Richard. And we'll give you his website at the end of this crap tech item of the week time. The Aurora 7 laptop. Now, it has... is this a misprint or something wrong here? It says it has 7 screens. Huh?
What a load of crap this thing is. So somebody has made, the Aurora company's made this Aurora 7 laptop. It looks like something out of a bad Hollywood movie. It's got 7 fold-out screens.
Why? Why?
A laptop, Paul, is something you sit on your lap. This ain't sitting on your lap, let me tell you. It's supposed to be a mobile workstation for those who need more screen real estate than they have room for monitors. What a load of crap this is. It's got great specs in it. It's got 64 gig of RAM. It's got a great graphics card in it. It's going to need it to run 7 screens, 2 terabyte of hard storage space on there as well, all the ports. But it has 4 17.3-inch 4K screens, 2 in port remote, 2 in landscape, 3 7-inch screens, and 1 located in the laptop's wrist on there as well. A laptop, Paul, should be nice and portable, shouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm just thinking of who's the person who needs 7 screens?
I don't know. This weighs 12 kilos.
Oh. So 12 kilos.
But there's more, Paul.
But wait, there's more.
How long does the battery last?
Oh, how long does the battery last?
You'll be lucky to get an hour out of it. So, yes.
Well, you wouldn't have time to look at your 7 screens.
No, you start going around doing what you're doing and it'd die on there as well. So, yeah, the Aurora 7 laptop. The biggest load of crap I've seen in a long time.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, listen, I didn't ask you about this, but have you got a tangent thing to talk about?
I do, Paul. I've got 2 things. I also want to mention something. I think the federal government, Paul, have missed a bit of a marketing opportunity when it comes to COVID.
Okay.
Now, in China at the moment, you know what they've introduced?
I don't give a stuff and I don't care.
Yeah, we don't care, right? But I think this is something we could pick up from the Chinese to keep the Australian people in line.
Oh, no.
Anal swabs.
Oh, what?
Yes. Anal swabs are proving to be more accurate than the one up your nose.
Oh, so instead of the nose, down the other end.
And up the other end to about, I think it's about 1 to 2 centimetres up your coit. They do a bit of a swab. then they can go off and get it tested. Now, can you imagine, Paul, the drive-through testing station where you've got...
you could just put your bum out of the car.
Exactly right. You've got all these blokes with utes and big hair. Hanging out the window.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I just beeped that tiny bit there.
There we go. As the person tries to get it in, just in a holy one, as they just drive past.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, I think Scott Morrison and the health minister get up and say, unless you check in, unless you do the right thing, we are going to introduce anal swabs. You watch the compulsory rate just skyrocket in this country. Anal swabs.
All right, that's enough of anal swabs. Let's move on.
Obey the rules.
All right, let's move on. Have you got a tangent?
I do.
Oh, tell us what is not around anymore.
Do you know what we don't see anymore, Paul?
What?
Bex.
Bex and a good lie down.
Bex and a good lie down. Bex was the cocaine for about 15 years ago for people.
It was. It was. Tell people what it had in it.
From memory, Paul, I think it had aspirin, phenacetin and caffeine. No idea what phenacetin is, but I'm sure...
Hang on, I'll check. Let me Google phenacetin.
Okay.
It's easy to say, phenacetin.
Phenacetin.
Okay, it's...
So I think phenacetin's playing in the Australian Open, isn't he?
I thought it was a heavy metal band. Anyway, it's a pain-relieving and fever-reducing drug, which was widely used following its introduction in 1887. It was withdrawn from medicinal use as a dangerous drug from the 1970s. I don't know when it was withdrawn here. But you mention aspirin, phenacetin and caffeine, APC. Well, also the rival company to Bex was Vincent's, and they had Vincent's APC. So Bex and Vincent's were the same. But you know the thing that differentiated, I love that word, between Bex and Vincent's was?
More letters?
No. Vincent's APC was a different colour. It was pink.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so Vincent's was pink and Bex was white, but they were exactly the same thing. And, of course, what housewives used to do, and my mum was the same, she would do the housework, then she'd have her Bex and a cup of tea and a good lie down.
But we can't have that anymore, Paul.
No.
It's encouraging, drug taking, so we can't have it. You used to be able to buy it from the supermarket.
That's right. And, of course, Mum had to lie down, but, of course, she had to be up when Dad got home because if his meal wasn't on the table, he got the shits.
Exactly right.
He did. And I'm not beeping that either because he did get the shits.
Yep.
I don't mean literally. I just mean, you know.
If he did get the shits, maybe some Vincent's was getting dropped into his meal at night.
Boy, I tell you, Mum would have loved to have slipped something in his tea, in his drink. I would have liked to have slipped it into his drink. But that's a whole different story. And, of course, I'm telling that story on Graham Corns from 5AA, which I recorded in Adelaide and we'll put up on our podcast here. 5AA interviewed me, Graham Corns, and... I give my dad a mention, as you gave your dad a mention.
Exactly right. It's for those people out there, it's a show done in Adelaide called Conversations with Cornsey, and they talk to, the leading and interesting people around the country. And it was very privileged to go on, and it's going to be great to hear yours too, Paul.
Yeah, me too. Okay, any other tangent there before I get on to mine?
No, just Bex for me.
Now, my tangent is, and these aren't around anymore. Well, I guess a couple of people may have them, you know, in a drawer somewhere or a cupboard or something, but slide projectors.
Oh, good heavens.
Remember when people would invite you around for a slideshow of their holiday?
Yes.
And you try to get out of it.
And there was never enough alcohol when they people are trying to go along and do
yes.
that. What's there?
Yeah, that's right. That this is us on the Oriana. Sailing the South Pacific, and all of these terrible shots where their heads were cut off, they were out of focus. It was a thumb over the lens.
There's Auntie Dory with the lifeguard who took a great interest in her.
That's right. The old slide projector, and of course we with our cameras now, we can just take any. Everybody has a camera these days, but back in those days, you'd get your film or you would get your slide film, and they were two separate things, and it would come out in a positive way, if you know what I mean, not negative, but a positive image.
That clicking sound, as well as it went through. And do you now you've talked about slide projectors? Do you remember? I used to have a friend when I was a kid who I went around to their place, and he insisted on putting on his 8mm family movies.
Right
on the screen. And unfortunately, we're all sitting there watching this thing, which was boring as batshit. And there was lots of, and it. You know when they used to get a bit too warm and the whole screen used to go up?
Oh, that's right. No, well, what happened there? I know a little bit about that, having been a cameraman.
Yes, you do.
What happened was the image would get stuck in the gate of the projector, and the globe being incredibly hot would then burn the hole in the film, you see. But it had to come to a stop. It wouldn't burn unless the frame got stuck in the gate of the projector.
I always remember because this one went up on the screen and people were very upset, but I think it was a blessing from God that we didn't have to put up with this crap anymore. So
all right. Yes. Now, talking of slide projectors, the producer, Gary's producer in the afternoon, he has found an old projector here at Fab FM downstairs. So he's just brought it up and he's loaded it up, and this is what it was like. Okay, just change the slide here. Here we go. I'll just do it here. So we just see the noise it makes?
That's great. It's a carousel going.
No. The carousel was the one where you loaded them. This one we're doing by hand.
Oh, right.
See that? Oh, this is great for this is great for radio. Shining these on the wall. That's great for radio. Isn't that exciting?
Do you know what? Do you know there's one thing worse? And I remember because my mum did this once. She had a little portable handheld little one that when you pressed the slide in, it used to illuminate behind. So it was looking just like you were looking at a photo, but you had to take the things in and out at the time.
Okay, I'll leave that. I'll leave that, your mum's thing that you had to slide in and out. Anyway, look, that's it for this week. Oh, dear. Anyway, look, we're back in action. You've given me a laugh, and I hope that we've given the podcast listeners a little bit of joy today. What's your website?
So,
go on, mate.
So do I, Paul, and we've given a bit of instruction to the federal government as well.
Yes.
Always good.
You're getting very controversial, having a go at the PM and the government. Oh, gee, where's that? They'll have your IP address.
Exactly right. Well, it can't be any worse than Pete Evans trying to get elected to Parliament. Good heavens.
Yeah, well, that's another story, isn't it?
Yes. But my website is talktech.com.au. All the details up there about the 2.4, the 5 gigahertz, and Elon Musk Starlink service, which might be very suitable for a lot of people up where you are that struggle to get a good internet connection.
Fantastic. Talk to you next week.
Look forward to it.